my whole family. Just keep your phony culture warm
and keep your f***ing tea.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Lee Fong, who's a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. He covers money and politics, conservative movements and lobbying. His work has resulted in multiple calls for hearings in Congress and the Federal Election Commission. His book on the campaign to block Obama's domestic priorities is slated for publication this winter. And he has an article at the Nation, "Does Romney Actually Have a Bigger Ground Game Than Obama?" Welcome to Background Briefing, Lee Fong.
Ian, thank you for having me.
And before we get to Frank Vandersloot, who's, I think, the single biggest contributor through his super PAC to the Romney campaign and co-chair of Romney's National Finance Committee, your article at The Nation, "Does Romney Actually Have a Bigger Ground Game Than Obama?" points out that even though we're often told how many field offices Obama has in Ohio, I think four times as many as Romney, at the end of the day, we don't quite know, I take it, whether these rich oligarchs and powerful employers who have been communicating with their workers about how they should vote and essentially saying if you vote for Obama, you know, you're going to lose your job. We don't know the extent to which they've organized a ground game, I take it, in terms of not just urging their employees to vote for Romney, but maybe driving into the polls. Is that what's going on under the radar here?
Well, that's right. You know, there's two dynamics at play here. One is that the right, conservatives, have made a focused investment in organizing institutes and organizations that are devoted to grassroots organizing. Many of these institutes are 501c organizations, meaning they don't have to report their finances. So there's literally about 15 of these institutes that have been set up over the past 4 years. Many of them were involved in the Tea Party movement. Now they're devoting significant resources to turning people out to vote. And we don't know how much they're spending because they're 501c's. They're these shadow organizations. At the same time, Citizens United, this landmark decision from the Supreme Court in 2010, has liberated big employers to communicate with their employees like they never could before, to basically tell them which candidates they support, to endorse candidates, and some of them are even offering rides to the polls, doing the kind of ground operations that a campaign would ordinarily do. And again, many of these corporations don't report their finances to the Federal Election Commission or any of these types of electioneering efforts. So we have these dark money groups and these large corporations playing the role that a traditional campaign committee would, except there's no disclosure. So if you look at the campaign reports, on paper, Obama has more field organizers, more field offices than Romney, but that disclosure picture doesn't really account for everything that's happening in the country right now.
Well, I just on Thursday did an interview with Nate Silver, who's with 538.com, and he, of course, has Obama ahead in Ohio, and we talked actually about the last election in Nevada, and of course Nevada is a key state for Romney, and Nate admitted that he got it wrong last time, that Harry Reid surprised everybody. They had bet on Sharron Angle, but he surprised everybody because of his network. But I think what people aren't recognizing is that the Harry Reid network is essentially a Mormon network, and Harry Reid's a Mormon, and so it's quite possible that the Harry Reid network, in fact, likely that the Harry Reid network will elect Romney in Nevada and one of its biggest activists, the richest man in Idaho, who is the biggest supporter of Romney's and the co-chair of his campaign, is Frank Vandersloot, a very powerful figure in the Mormon church. You're saying here that he basically, all of these, most of these calls that are going into these swing states originate out of Idaho Falls and Rexburg, Idaho, where Frank Vandersloot has essentially dedicated his multi-level marketing corporation that sells dietary supplements and cleaning supplies to the disposal of Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers outfit.
Yeah, it's a remarkable dynamic. So, you know, at first we had the campaigns, the Romney campaign, outsourcing a lot of their ground operations to these Koch brother type groups, Americans for Prosperity, that are barnstorming the country, busing volunteers, making phone calls to swing states. Now we have even Americans for Prosperity outsourcing their operations to another third party, Frank Vandersloot's corporation, which is very adept at direct-to-consumer marketing. That's basically all he does. He sells dietary supplements and cleaning supplies. And, you know, his company has been accused of running a pyramid scheme in the past because, you know, they'll recruit people and promise money or other rewards for recruiting their friends and family to do the same. So they're very good at this type of direct marketing that actually is very important in a campaign, because it's all about person-to-person persuasion this late in the game. You know, the television advertisements, the radio advertisements, they kind of have a diminishing appeal once you get one or two weeks out of an election. People kind of tune it out. So the only thing that really matters right now are the type of efforts where you bus people to the polls, where you actually communicate door-to-door, and where you make these pivotal phone calls. And, you know, most of the mainstream media is ignoring the fact that these huge call centers that Frank Vandersloot is donating basically to the Romney campaign by way of the Americans for Prosperity, they could have a significant impact in the election.
So specifically, you've got legions of these young teenagers in Idaho hired for $10 an hour making anti-Obama calls to swing states. Is that what they're actually doing?
That's right. And it's not just in Idaho. I mean, they've set up these call centers all over the country, in San Diego, in Texas, in places where there aren't competitive elections. They're basically bringing in volunteers, or they're paying folks to make these calls to swing states. And, you know, mind you, both Obama and Romney are bringing people together to make calls. The difference here is that this is outsourced. This is a private organization that doesn't report its finances, so we don't know the full picture. But Americans for Prosperity got in a little bit of trouble with this Idaho example because they were caught recruiting teenagers at their high schools, telling them that they'll be paid $10 an hour. And, you know, a lot of the parents aren't very happy with their kids being recruited into something so partisan and, you know, without the parents' consent either.
Well, you know, Li Fong, this Frank Vandersloot, he came to my attention recently when the Boy Scouts of America's perversion files were released under an order by the Oregon Supreme Court. I spoke with the investigative reporter who originally broke the story for the Idaho Falls Post-Register, Peter Zuckerman. And he told this just stunning story that the richest man in Idaho, this fellow Frank Vandersloot, personally tried to stop this story. He took out hate ads against the reporter in newspapers. He harassed the reporter's sources. He eventually outed the reporter, who was gay, causing his partner to lose his job. But nevertheless, he managed to get the series published, and he won a lot of journalistic prizes for it. So, you know, the question that arises is, why is this Mormon billionaire covering up for child molesters in the Boy Scouts? It's very, very troubling. I'm not suggesting that in any way that Frank Vandersloot is a pedophile. But on the other hand, you have to ask yourself, why did he go to such lengths to suppress this story? And what kind of guy is he?
Well, this is just another example, in my opinion, of the type of plutocratic shenanigans that our country is moving into. You know, Frank Vandersloot was called out by the Obama campaign for financing the Romney Super PAC. But, I mean, which is fair. I mean, he really did give millions of dollars to the Romney Super PAC. But Frank Vandersloot said he was being victimized. He was being placed on the president's enemies list. He went to all of these conservative news outlets and said that, you know, President Obama was acting like Nixon and sending his henchmen after him. I mean, it was a little bit paranoid, to say the least. But in an election where you have basically all attention and all political resources devoted to and controlled by just a small group of very wealthy individuals, really, we're at the whim of whatever they decide to do. If you have a David Koch or a Charles Koch or a Frank Bandersloot that decides to just put a small portion of their wealth into some cause or into some election, they have incredible sway. So, you know, if there's an eccentric billionaire that wants to have great influence in this country, now there's basically no limit for what they can do.
So do we know what – we don't know who these groups are, and this is why you're making the point here, Li Fong, that in spite of the advantage that Obama appears to have in field offices, which I think people make the assumption that he has a stronger ground game with 131 field offices in Ohio to Romney's 40 – the point that you're making here is that we don't know the extent to the hidden field game that Romney has because of these organizations funded by these plutocrats, one of which, of course, is Frank Bandersloot, who is a specialist in telemarketing. That's how he made his millions and billions. Then we don't know whether corporations hiding behind these 501c4 social welfare vehicles. We don't know how much money they're giving in the first place. We don't know how much their corporate assets, like transportation, etc. We know that they're influencing the vote. We know that, for example, Cintas, a big company in Cincinnati, has told its employers that if they don't vote for Obama, they're going to lose their jobs. We know that Murray Energy in Ohio forced their employers to appear as in a photo op with Mitt Romney. So that, I guess that's the troubling aspect. We've talked about phone banks. What other things do you think they're up to that we don't know about?
Well, one of the big efforts by Americans for Prosperity, American Action Network, some of these other conservative 501c groups, is to barnstorm the country through bus tours. So they have kind of mobile field operations. Right now, I believe they've got 3 or 4 bus tours crisscrossing the country, going to the swing states. And what they do is that they partner with local Tea Party organizations, and they go into a state. They have a little rally with a speaker, sometimes like a conservative celebrity, an Ann Coulter type, bringing people out, collecting names, and then deploying them to get out the vote. Some of these groups, like the Republican Jewish Coalition and Americans for Prosperity, are distributing iPads and Samsung Galaxy tablets, and they're already pre-programmed with door-knocking schedules, with who to talk to, and they're basically synchronized. So the data that is being collected as these Tea Party activists or Republican volunteers go out and door-knock, they beam that information back to headquarters, and it's distributed so that the phone bankers, whether they're in Idaho Falls or Virginia or where have you, have better information for who to contact, who to remind, and who needs a ride to the polls come election day. So it's a very integrated effort. Republicans historically have been at a disadvantage in these type of field operations compared to Democrats. But I think this year could be a real game changer. Even if Obama is victorious on election day, I think Republicans have really made an effort we haven't seen in previous years, and we'll see the effect down ballot, even if Romney isn't successful.
Well, one of the assumptions about how the Republicans have organized, and largely through the efforts of Karl Rove, one of the explanations that I've heard is that the Republican alliance with the religious right, who are becoming increasingly dominant part of the Republican coalition, has had the effect of providing the Republicans with the same kind of assets that the Democrats have always had with labor unions, the people who drive people to the poll, the people who knock on doors, the people who lick stamps and make phone calls, and that the religious right has offered up these mega churches and stuff as the Republican infrastructure to match what the Democrats have always had an advantage in. Of course, you know, one of the reasons why the Republicans have gone after public employee labor unions is to defund the Democrats. So they've been quite aggressive, and we know that labor unions are down to only 6% of representation of the private workforce. Give us a sense, Li Fong, of what role do these fundamentalist megachurches play?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right in that the religious right has played this counterbalance role for Republicans for, I would say, three decades. You know, I actually argue in my book that's coming out in the late winter that the religious right coalition began falling apart in 2006, 2007 because of the wave of scandals that rocked the Republican Party, everything from Foley to Larry Craig. Republican planners, lobbyists, they saw that their ground troops were losing enthusiasm, so they started making investments in groups like Americans for Prosperity. It's creating organizations like American Majority. That's another group that has four or five field offices in Ohio that are undisclosed, that are augmenting the Romney ground game. So they started investing in these new types of groups. At the same time, they started going on offense against public employee unions, knowing that to make up for the lost volunteers, the evangelicals who are just less hardcore Republican than they were before, they had to go after Democrats' assets, as you would say. So, you know, that's why even the president of the Wisconsin State Senate, when they were going after the public employees there, he admitted very openly that the reason that they were doing this was to hope to deliver Wisconsin for Romney this year. It was transparently political, even though the ads and, you know, Governor Walker always tried to remind the press that this was about the budget, you know, somehow saving money. But several of the people involved in the effort were honest in saying that, no, this is about a partisan effort. So, you know, the dynamics are changing. The religious right will still be important in this election. Ralph Reed, the former president of a large Christian religious right group in the 90s, has kind of re-entered the fray. He has a new group called Faith and Freedom Coalition that's working very closely with Americans for Prosperity. They're sharing the same database. And I think it's yet to be seen the type of impact he'll have, but they sure are trying. There are many large evangelical churches in Ohio. They might tip the balance in this election.
Well, just in closing, Li Fong, Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers super PAC, Adelson super PAC, Vandersloot super PAC, and all of these other super PACs, we know how much money they're pouring. We don't know how many. That's the point. We don't know how much money they're pouring. We know that they have a lot of money at their disposal. We know they're saturating the airwaves. They're going to do carpet bombing advertisements. And so we know that what they've done in terms of paid media. So give us a sense of what you think this hidden kind of beneath the surface ground game that the Republicans have developed through the plutocrats, the ones that we've been talking about, activities. This could be, you know, the stealth operation of all stealth operations.
Well, the surprise will come on election day. I mean, you gave the Harry Reid example where he's kind of stunned the pollsters just by getting people out to vote. As you mentioned, he has religious connections in the state. He also has very big casino connections. They were out busing people to the polls. So that's another example of how a corporation can really make a big difference come election day. But, you know, for this presidential election, it's really hard to predict. Enthusiasm for Democrats is incredibly low. That being said, Romney, I don't think, is a strong candidate. So it still kind of hangs in the balance. Where you see, in my opinion, this ground game having the most effect is down ballot, because bringing people out to vote for these pivotal Senate races and House races where people aren't paying attention like they are in the presidential race is going to have a huge impact in the shape of Congress next year. In Ohio, even if Romney somehow loses the state, which is very possible, I think with Americans for Prosperity and all these outside dark money groups coming in, you're going to see some of these pivotal House races either flip to the Republicans or stay in the Republicans' hands. You have Jim Renacci, this Tea Party freshman Republican who has was in danger just a few months ago. I think a lot of these outside money efforts are going to keep him in office. Across the country, I don't think Democrats are going to be able to take back the House. But again, you know, monitoring how these groups get out the vote is going to be very important. I just can't stress enough, you can't just compare the Obama versus Romney campaigns because the dynamics are just so different in this election. So much of the political resources are outsourced to these third-party groups.
Well, Lee Fong, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Lee Fong, who's a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. He covers money and politics, conservative movements, and lobbying. His work has resulted in multiple calls for hearings in Congress and the Federal Elections Commission. His book on the campaign to block Obama's domestic priorities is slated for publication this winter, and he has an article at the Nation, "Does Romney Actually Have a Bigger Ground Game Than Obama?" We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Proposition 34 with someone who was wrongfully convicted and spent 26 years in a California prison for a crime he did not commit.
It's the money.